great He is. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and let's go all the way to the back of the New Testament and find the epistle that Peter wrote. The first of Peter, chapter number 5, will be our finishing text to the message this morning. As I began a message to you this morning in our continuing in our series 2020 is coming, entitled, We Must Start Winning. We must start winning. This message was designed to kind of help us to face the challenges we face corporately and individually in preparing ourselves to be effective witnesses for the Lord, to be the church effective with the power of God upon our lives. And this was really the fourth message that I'd preached in that direction. I preached about resisting the world's propaganda, basing our life on the eternal Word of God, making sure that we give consideration to the most important thing that we possess, being our soul. Last week, I preached a message entitled, We Must Not Be Deceived. And the key verse of that was 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 20, that the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. That power is the moral transformation of your life. Words are manipulable. Words can be deceiving. But you cannot manipulate and you cannot deceive the transformed power of God in your life. And so it's one thing to call yourself a Christian. It's another thing to live the Christ life. It's one thing to say things with your words. It's another thing to see the transformation in our lives of righteousness as Christ being in us. Old things passed away and all things becoming new. Our text this morning was in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. When we went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there the Lord Jesus, ever being the teacher, takes a moment with Peter. It was and instructs Peter about himself, instructs Peter about life, and instructs Peter about how to face spiritual battles. This instruction was not just in word only. The Lord Jesus practiced what He preached. And He was preparing Himself. He's getting ready to face the greatest battle that the earth has ever seen in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And He's anticipating that moment. He knows that in a few short hours He will be lifted off of the earth and He will be hung upon that cursed tree. And even the Lord Jesus, as the God-man, is preparing Himself for that moment. And the way that the Lord Jesus spiritually prepared Himself for this wonderful battle was that through prayer. And he finds himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. He finds himself enlisting others to pray for him. And in the midst of that, you know, the disciples fall asleep. Multiple reasons. We talked about that this morning. But the fact was that they could not stay awake. So fitting is that to the series that we've been preaching, because we're trying to wake up from spiritual lethargy. We're trying to be focused in what God has for us. The world needs the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus left the church here empowered by the Holy Spirit to take the gospel to the world. That includes you, my brother. That includes you, my sister. That includes you individually. And that includes us corporately. But we find that the church on the earth today, for the most part, is living shallow faith lives. And ineffective in communicating, ineffective in reaching, ineffective in what we are doing. I don't want that to be said about us. I want there to be a power that rests upon Plantation Baptist Church, that the power of God would rest upon us. And so as the disciples find themselves asleep, there's wonderful application. Jesus shows up on the scene and addresses Peter. And He says to Peter something that was all of us needed. He said, Peter, you need to understand that you need to watch and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. Peter, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And this is not the Lord Jesus hammering Peter. This is the Lord Jesus helping Peter. If you remember earlier, the Lord Jesus had looked at Peter and He said to him, Peter, I'm praying for you because Satan hath a desire to do what? Sift him. So the Lord Jesus knew that Peter was on Satan's target list. And the Lord Jesus, in the last moments that He has with Peter is helping him. And there's correction in the help, but there's love in the help. For Peter had earlier exalted himself. Peter had earlier thought more of himself than he ought to. I think Peter had earlier gave the devil opportunity that he didn't even realize that he was given to the enemy. And when the Lord Jesus talked about all of them were going to forsake, Peter said, I'm not going to leave you. And Peter, when Jesus confronted that, Peter even said, listen, I'll die for you. And it wasn't very long after that that Peter finds himself denying the Lord three times and cursing the Lord. And then they meet eyes. The gospel writer tells us that when the cock crew that second time, they met eyes. And Peter left that scene weeping bitterly. And I am finding that that many of God's people are experiencing the same thing Peter experienced in that moment. Tremendous spiritual defeat. And really and truthfully, what Jesus was teaching Peter is what we need to know. Jesus was teaching Peter, Peter, you didn't lose the battle in that moment with those with those maidens and those people accusing you. You went into that moment already in a defeated position. And the truth that he's communicating to us is that, really truthfully, spiritual battles are being lost before they are ever being fought in our lives. And the evidence of that, or the reason for that, is the lack of spiritual preparation. So Jesus tells Peter, and he tells us, watch and pray. Watch is being observant. Watch is being careful. Watch is having eyes to see. Praying, we understand that going to the throne of grace. John Phillips said, watching sights the enemy, praying fights the enemy. And so many of God's people, we're making our way through our lives without any spiritual anticipation, or we're making them through with self-exaltation, and we're not taking time to prepare ourselves. So when we get into the battle, we're so vulnerable, we don't even stand a chance at spiritual victory. I want to say this. God's children do not need to live spiritually defeated lives. No. We have the power of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. We have the power of the Word of God. We have been made more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus. And so, yet so little attention is given to preparation and to spiritual preparation. And so I went through all of that this morning, and I want to give you tonight four things to help you kind of value and understand and be reminded of the necessity to watch and pray in your life. And I want to begin in 1 Peter chapter number 5. And look at this admonition that Peter is giving and writing to God's people that are really suffering. And really, truthfully, this whole book is about suffering. And here is the admonition that he gives to them, and it's applicable to us as well, as they've cast their care upon him. Verse number 8 says this, be sober and be vigilant. That, I think he learned that from the Lord Jesus, because that sounds very much like watch and pray. Be sober, that's watchful. Be vigilant, that's on guard. Because your adversary, the devil. By the way, if you know the Lord Jesus, you have an adversary, his name is the devil. As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom, do what class? Resist. How? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, right? Or that they're going through. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter got it. And what Peter is communicating here, I do believe Peter learned firsthand. And let me put some points into language. If I could put these points, as Brother Tozer has put them, in common language, it would be this. Never live your life or act as if everything is all right. Never act as if things are all right. Now, I don't want to be a pessimist, and I don't live my life waiting for the other shoe to drop. But God's people, sometimes we fall into this trap or this mindset where we kind of analyze our life, and here's what we say. Well, things are going pretty good right now. My wife is happy. That's a miracle. The kids are okay. The bills are being paid. Things seem to be going along pretty good, Pastor. How are you doing? I have no complaints. Life is good. There's nothing wrong with that, as God enables us to know that and God blesses us. Here's where we get into problem. We pray like mad when things are going bad, but we quit praying when things go well. And we kind of get to this part in our life where we're absent of sobriety and we're absent of vigilance. And we look at the surrounding and we forget that we still have an adversary that is out there. My friend, if the devil lets you alone for a while, or you're not much in trouble as you see, and you're reasonably happy and reasonably spiritual, and things seem to be going pretty good, if you're not careful, you'll put yourself in a vulnerable position. And you'll put yourself in a position where you'll think, I can kind of take the brakes off of my preparation here and not secure myself. And so we kind of live our lives like things are all right. Pastor, are you always looking for something bad to happen to you? No, but I'm always aware that the devil's out there. I'm always aware that the devil, and that's what Peter is saying. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, we do believe God is good, do we not? And we do believe that God meets our needs, and we do see the hand of God working in our lives. But you can't, if you find yourself when things are good, not spiritually preparing yourself by watching and praying. Well, I don't think I need to read today. You know what? I think I'm going to skip my time with the Lord today. I think I'll be okay. It's Monday. Maybe I'll read Thursday, Friday. I'm just going to spend some time. My friends, that's not watching and praying. You're putting yourself in a vulnerable position. Number two, by doing that, you end up giving place to the enemy. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27. My second point is this. Never trust the devil. Never trust the devil. Write Ephesians 4:27 down. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, neither give place to the devil. He's talking about opportunity here. You don't want to give the enemy any opportunity in your life. How do you give the enemy opportunity in your life? By not being sober, by not being vigilant, by not watching, by not praying, by thinking that you have things in control, by thinking that things are all right now, or by thinking that you find somewhere, you found a safe spot. I want you to know the devil's pretty clever. He's pretty clever. And he knows how to attack. Sometimes he's going to attack like a lion. Sometimes he's going to attack with light. Sometimes it's going to be aggressive. Sometimes it's going to be sneaky and hidden in your face, behind your back. Sometimes the devil will even attack you aggressively and then back off and give you space. That's how he did to Jesus. The Bible says when the devil was done tempting Jesus in the wilderness, that he left him for a season. And so I've had an in-the-face aggressive attack from the enemy, right? And you may have experienced this where you know where I mean, it's just been blatant. Here it is. Go get it. And you find yourself able to find the grace of God to sustain that. And you make it through that. The temptation is to kind of let down. Usually the devil's just circling around to come at us from another angle. I don't know about you, but I have a healthy respect for Satan. You better have a healthy respect for Satan. Never act as if things are all right. Never come to the place where you feel good about life to the point that you don't give God glory and to the point where you're not watching and praying. You're in a dangerous position. Never trust the enemy. Number three, never become overconfident. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3 says to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. 1 Corinthians talks about taking heed lest we think as we stand and we fall. Many a Christian man and many a Christian woman has lost battles and lost the fight by being overconfident. I think self-confidence is one of the great tools that the enemy uses in our lives. I can handle that. My friends, to be honest with you, our spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. Many a person has had the best willingness in their spirit, but they've not regarded the weakness of their flesh and become overconfident in something. And in their overconfidence and their focus on their self, they have given the devil an opportunity, and the devil has advanced that opportunity, and he has sifted God's people. The absence of watching and praying in my life is the evidence that I trust myself more than I trust God. I got to say that again. The absence of watching and praying and spiritual preparation in my life is evidence to who I ultimately trust in caring for my life. And I got news for you, and I think it goes true for you. Every time I trust myself, I fall flat on my face. And here's where we are, God's people. We don't understand the responsibility here. We don't understand the danger here. And some of this is not per se where it's planned or malicious. We just do it without even knowing that we do it. We rest our confidence in our flesh. We rest our confidence in ourselves. Let me tell you something. Nobody in here is above adultery. Nobody. Nobody in here is above doing anything an unsaved person can do. You strip the fullness of the Holy Spirit or the control of the Holy Spirit away from God's people, we can do anything an unsaved person can do. Right? Boy, we better not become overconfident. Lastly, and I'm hustling. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Never act as if things were all right to the point where you stop praying. If you're at a place in your life where things are good and you are not aggressively watching and praying and at the throne of grace, you are in a vulnerable, vulnerable place. Go ahead, go to the gym that one time. Watch what the devil does. Go ahead, put yourself in a wrong moment that one time. You give the devil an opportunity, he's going to take advantage of that opportunity. James wrote, how do we resist the devil? We submit ourselves to the Lord. And that is the way that I protect myself. Never become overconfident, thinking I can handle this, thinking this won't hurt me, thinking that somehow this will affect everybody else, but I in some way will survive this position. You begin to give credit to yourself, you're going to find that you're going to fall flat on your face. And never underestimate the power of prayer. The longer that I am in ministry, the longer that I am in Christian, the more I realize that God's miraculous power comes when we pray. If you believe God answers prayer, say amen to that. You know, I can't change people. God can change people. I can't even keep myself. I can't be much different than you. We're all sinners saved by grace, right? So my mind has the ability to go places I don't want it to go. Anybody else have that problem? My flesh is wicked. I tell you, the longer I've been saved, the more wicked I realize I am. I feel that flesh just rise up at the weirdest times. People come to me all the time about their thought problems, all the time. Here's the number one question I get. Pastor, I get the most wicked thoughts. They just come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about things I shouldn't be thinking about. Have I committed a sin? They always want to know this. And I tell them, I say, listen, you to some degree you cannot control the thoughts that come to your mind. When thoughts come to your mind that are against the Word of God, now you have a responsibility. That thought is not sin to you. What you do with that thought can be sin. You let that thought rest and germinate, and you take that thought to the next level, you've transgressed the Word of God. You grab that thought, you arrest that thought, you deposit that thought into the grace of God, and you ask God to redeem and refresh that thought. That's how it works. But I got news for you. That's impossible without a prayer life. I said this morning, powerlessness is evidence of prayerlessness. You give us a church that's powerless with the power of God, I'll show you a prayerless church. I don't care how many people they run. I don't care how much worship they do. I don't care how much money they have. It takes prayer to have God's power. You show me an individual. See how these messages build? The kingdom of God's not in word. It's in power. If I'm going to have power with God, I better concentrate on my soul. If my soul is right with God, then the way that that's fed is through the authority of the Word of God. I don't know how Christian people go forward without a prayer life. So I'm asking you, what's your prayer life like? Without prayer, you'll never win the battles. But with prayer, you cannot lose. Anticipatory prayer is so important. So, Pastor, talk to me about that. So you must be a negative person. I'm not a negative person. You must be a person that lives every day waiting for evil to happen. I don't live every day waiting for evil to happen. I get up every day and I say this: Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I want you to order my steps. Lord, I submit myself to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I need you to keep me from evil. I need you to wash my mind and my conscience and all with the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, above everything, I want to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I want you to protect me from the enemy. I want you to keep me in a position of holiness. And without you today, I can do nothing. And then I go about my day. The days that I am spiritually prepared are the days the enemy is prevented, and are the days that God gets great glory out of my life. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. Amen? You have to have this as part of your life. If not, then you're going to suffer defeatism pretty easy. Shall we pray?